This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Tired of not getting a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When Sam decided to bring us back together, I was like, this is awesome. And also, I need to, like, prepare myself for the experience. So, yeah.
Let me tell you, I don't think you guys should have any fears. Because it's like, you know, when the old band gets together, they still know the moves. Like, NSYNC, no matter how old they get, if they get on the same stage, they'll know the choreo to Bye Bye Bye. They'll always know it.
Yeah, and I still know how to.
I still know the choreography to that song.
Hey, y'all. This is Sam's Aunt Betty. This week, why we're in a labor shortage, and what reopening feels like. All right, let's start the show.
Hey, y'all, you're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Sam Sanders, and this episode, I am so happy to welcome back one of the most dynamic duos in public radio history. Small disclosure, one of them right now is not officially in the public radio family, but it still counts. Two of my favorites, Cardiff Garcia, Stacey Vanek Smith. Hello, 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 hello.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, Sam. Nice to still be in your
Very
warm embrace.
Nice to see your face, Cardiff.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I recognize that closet and that blanket.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, my God. There are dogs barking. Hold on. Give me one sec. You hear them?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. The perils of semi-live radio.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever it is we're doing. Right.
Before we go too far, I want to say the last time we had Stacey and Cardiff together on this show, they both were co-hosts of the Daily Economics podcast from NPR, The Indicator. Since that last time, Cardiff has gone off to start a new venture, but he'll always be Indicator NPR family. I'm excited about it.
Me too.
There might be tears. Might be a little rusty, by the way.
Oh, please.
Might be a little
rusty.
You'll be fine.
It's been a couple
You'll
of months.
You'll be fine.
You know, I'm
You'll
lowering expectations because I don't want to get crushed when I lose our next edition of Who Said That? Because I feel
you
like.
You won last time. Cheating, but you did win. I remember.
No.
Wow. After
a long losing streak. And I just want to say, even if I do lose, it's been exhausting at the top, okay? I get nervous walking down the street. If everyone starts gawking, it'll cause like a traffic accident. Like, so if I lose and
really
who said
knows
that,
pop culture.
No big deal.
I love how eager you both are to play Who Said That, because we also talk about the news as well. Who Said That's going to come a little later with you two. But first, I do have to make the two of you economics reporters talk about the economy. That's the official business.
Yes, let's start with that.
I have some questions about the current state of our economy that are stumping me. And it's this weird juxtaposition in our economy right now. You know, we're living in this world, in this nation that's beginning to open up again. It seems like normal is returning. And all these employers are saying, we're back, we're back, we're back. But I see these reports of businesses having a hard time attracting workers, while at the same time, the unemployment rate is still pretty high. The official term for this is a labor shortage. I want to unpack it all, but first, define what this thing is and give me some numbers to put it in perspective.
Well, you're exactly right. And it
That's
is,
what I like to hear. Thank you, Stacey.
You are exactly right, Sam. It is this mystery. It is a true mystery. And it comes back to the very, very fundamentals of economics, supply and demand, right? There is a huge supply of people who need jobs. Millions and millions of people are unemployed right now. And by the way, we are not like creating jobs in this economy as fast as we were hoping. Like, it's pretty grim. At the same time, as you have all these millions of unemployed people, strangely, you have all these employers saying that they cannot get people to fill their jobs. You've got places like Dunkin' Donuts offering like $300 signing bonuses.
Really?
McDonald's in Florida offered a signing bonus. I talked to a guy who runs a casino, the Hard Rock Casino in Cleveland. He was offering dealers $4,000 signing bonuses. There's just like a terrible staffing shortage all across the country. And if you look at it on its face, it just doesn't make sense.
So, Cardiff, have you ever seen anything like this in the American economy? It's so weird to me.
No, not in our lifetime. And I thought that was beautifully articulated by Stacey. There's this really weird disconnect happening where if you just look at total employment, how many people have jobs, there's about 8 million fewer people in the country that have jobs than had them before the pandemic actually started.
Wow.
Right? Than the peak before
That's
the
major.
Pandemic. That's a lot of people, right? There also happen to be about 8 million job openings in the economy right now. Okay, so
now I'm just a simple man, but couldn't the 8 million just go into the 8 million jobs and then we're good?
Solved, done, no problem. Back to
right?
pre-pandemic levels
yeah.
of employment.
Yes.
So yeah, so that to me sort of captures the mystery that Stacey was describing. Like, why are they not sort of lining up? You know, and so that's the thing that I think economists are studying, and which right now we can talk about possible reasons, but I don't think we've quite nailed it just yet.
So we, through the magic of radio pre-production, had both of you kind of outline three big reasons that might kind of explain this labor shortage. And I want us to tick through the three, if that's okay. One is this continued unemployment extra stuff and stimulus check thing. Two is just childcare issues. And then three is like coronavirus fears, which are still lingering. Can we unpack those three in whatever order you choose?
Well, I think the one that has struck me from the beginning of the pandemic is the childcare issue. So many women dropped out of the workforce, more so than men. And in fact, right now, men with young children are more likely to have a job than your average man. And women...
Wait, really?
Yeah, I think because maybe there's like extra motivation. You know, they've got young kids, they're trying to bring in extra income, whereas women with young children are less likely than your average woman to be in the workforce.
Huh.
And I think there's a danger here that we're going to lose a lot of progress from women in the workforce, I think, because there's also this effect called scarring. So when women are out of the workforce, even for like a year or two, like your skills get a little rusty. There's a gap in your resume that looks like a red flag to employers potentially. You know, you lose that momentum. And so people come back in at lower salaries, at lower positions. It can really make a huge setback in your career that reverberates for years.
So that's the first big reason, childcare issues. Cardiff, unpack the second reason, which has gotten really, really political these last few weeks. This is the continued extra unemployment checks that lots of folks are getting from the federal government.
Yeah.
More than 20 Republican governors are saying they're going to stop taking these extra unemployment benefits for their state's residents because they want folks to get back to work. What's up with
yeah,
that? How big of a deal is this?
I have a pretty aggressive take on this, actually. And
that's what I want to hear.
Well, what I would say is this. You know, economists are still debating the extent to which, if at all, these added benefits are disincentivizing people from going back to work, from accepting jobs right now because they're getting a little bit of extra help for the government. So first of all, let's keep in mind that these added benefits are already set to expire in September. And the main point I would make is that even the studies finding that there is some disincentivizing effect are showing that that effect is really quite small, that it's not a big one. And also, I hate the way this debate is often framed as like this binary thing of like, you know, people are just living off the dole or they're trying to get back to work. Like, this is ridiculous. We're talking about human beings. And specifically, we're talking about a population of people that's been jobless in some cases for quite some time. And they're, you know, thinking about how they're going to re-enter the labor force. I would actually set aside like my economics data-driven demeanor or whatever for a second and just ask like, can we give people a break? Like, is it okay for people to catch a break? What's wrong with catching a break for just a few more months while people try to figure out what arrangements they have to make to re-enter the labor market?
I like that. People have different needs, different wants. It changes over time, which leads me to the third point that might explain this labor shortage, and it is kind of an emotional thing. Fear of going back to work because of the coronavirus still kind of being around. A lot of these unfilled jobs are concentrated in food service jobs and service industry jobs, where those employees have a lot of potential exposure to coronavirus. But also what's true for those kind of employees is that their wages are usually very low. How much of those jobs not being filled right now is folks that would go into those jobs saying, the pay was too low before the pandemic, it needs to be higher now, and I'll wait?
Yeah, it's a great question. And So if you look at service sector wages, they're actually doing okay. They're growing about how they were growing before the pandemic even hit. But that doesn't mean that raising those wages even more would not, you know, have an effect, because it's not like those were the highest paying jobs in the economy before the pandemic. They absolutely were not. A lot of those jobs were low wage jobs. You know, jobs in leisure and hospitality in particular, bars, restaurants, hotels, that's where there remains a huge shortfall of people hired relative to before the pandemic. And those jobs are all, like, you know, person facing essentially. And so I think, you know, it's hard to quantify just how many jobs have not been filled because of fear of the virus, but it would be weird. It would strain credulity to think that that's not having, like, a pretty significant effect right now.
Yeah. I want to bring up a thing that some people are speculating might happen. We're seeing employers start to increase wages to get folks back into the job market. And some are saying this might lead to inflation. What are the chances of that? Should we worry about that? And what does that look and feel like if it happens?
Well, I do worry about inflation. So another way to define inflation is just too much money chasing too few goods. And I worry about this gap, right? I mean, for some people, the pandemic has been financially, economically quite lucrative. Like, certain companies and certain people, you know, it's like it's been a time of, like, wealth accumulation and spending. And then you've got people on the other part of the economy who are really struggling. And I'm afraid that prices will go up. I mean, the shortages, there's this really interesting idea in economics that shortages are actually inflation, because it means that there's too much money chasing too few goods in an economy. And the overheating can happen. I mean, we're either going to leave a giant chunk of our population, millions of people, in just a terrible and, like, unconscionable situation. But there, I also think there is a risk at overheating the economy. Our money starts losing its value. Prices start going up. I mean, that's hard on everybody, too. I'm freaked out about it. I was always, like, way more paranoid about inflation than Cardiff was. This was a discussion we've been having since the housing market. I mean, we did have that. This was a big discussion back in, like, the days of quantitative easing and the housing crisis. Everyone was like, all this government spending is going to lead to inflation.
I have not heard quantitative easing in a long time.
I know. I pulled
that
out.
That's a deep cut right there. Yeah.
Deep cut.
Deep cut.
But anyway, I mean, and that inflation never happened.
So we'll see. We don't know yet.
I am worried about it. I mean, prices are going up. And the shortages.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Sam, you got to invite us back on in 6 months, and then we'll have a better answer for it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We can settle it.
I'll be drinking my $10 Starbucks coffee.
On that note, Stacey, Cardiff, thank you both so much for, as always, making the economy make sense to me. I want you both to stick around for a little bit, because when we come back, there's going to be a re-showdown of the two of you playing Who Said That?
Who Said That?
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Instead of scrolling mindlessly, engage mindfully with the NPR app. With a mix of on-demand news, stories from this station, and your favorite podcast, you can relax without shutting off your brain. Download the NPR app today.
What happens after a police officer shoots someone who's unarmed? For decades in California, internal affairs investigations, how the police themselves, were secret. Until now. Listen to On Our Watch, a podcast from NPR and KQED.
You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Sam Sanders, joined this week by, I gotta say, full disclosure, two of my favorite guests on the show ever of all time. Every time they're here.
Sam?
Yes, a most dynamic duo, Stacey Vanek Smith and Cardiff Garcia. Stacey is the host of NPR's The Indicator podcast. Cardiff, I want you to tell folks what your new title or current title should be.
Yeah, so the new business is called Bazaar Audio, and that's bizarre like the marketplace, not like strange. And so we're going to be launching a couple of original podcasts later this year. It's exciting, but also, as I said before, you know, a little bit bittersweet because I don't get to hang out with Stacey every day anymore, which is a bit of a bummer, but yeah.
Although right now, you two are hanging out.
I know!
Well, it is time to play my favorite game, Who Said That? The two of you, Stacey and Cardiff, have played this game against each other a few times, and I want to say y'all have been keeping score. Who's up right now?
Cardiff.
No, I only won the last one. I think you're up for the series. I only won the most recent one.
I don't think and it was I'm a up huge for the fluke. Series. I think you always underhandedly win. It's very unfair.
Underhandedly. My goodness. Well, the game is quite simple. I share a quote from the week of news. You got to tell me who said that or what story we're talking about. Let's just get to it. Here is the first quote. Tell me who said it. The New York Post has a story on peacocks today and say I have 16 on my farm. I actually have 21 of these glorious birds whose house is impeccable. They do not smell. They are so clean. Their voices are loud, but such fun to hear. They are so friendly. Who said that?
This is somebody who owns
peacocks. It's got to be a New Yorker. It's got to be a New Yorker, right? Because who else reads the Post?
This is a quintessential home improvement guru.
Oh is it? What's that couple? Wait, is it Martha Stewart?
Yes! It's Martha Stewart.
Wow. 1-0, just like that.
Yeah.
I have like a list of people that I was just going to say, no matter what the quote was, when I didn't know, I was going to say like it's Mark Hamill or Kanye West or something like that. But this
you should
one
just
didn't
rattle
like
off. You should have like a list of like people in the news and just say them really fast.
Yeah, and hope it hits.
Yes, yes. So the latest occurrence of fake news occurred in the New York Post a few days ago. All about Martha Stewart's peacocks. I guess they said she has 16 and it's kind of a mess and they're nasty. She said, in fact, I got 21 and the house is clean. I gotta say, whatever Martha Stewart does, I love it. I just do.
I feel like both are possibly true. Like, both peacocks are messy and terrible, and the peacocks in Martha Stewart's house are perfectly clean. Don't you think those two things could be true?
Because who's going to mess up Martha Stewart's house? I'd be afraid to.
No, the peacocks probably are like, they like heal in the house. They're like, you know what? This is a really good gig. Don't mess it up. Or she's got people running around behind the messy, terrible peacocks, like silencing them and picking up their mess.
Yeah, maybe the peacocks appreciate the aesthetics, you know?
Yeah.
Right? They like the vibes. It's soothing. They just want to chill. Also, if anyone could house train peacocks, it's Martha Stewart.
It's
Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Who got that point? Oh, Stacey, you got that point.
Yeah, up 1-0.
Stacey, you got that point.
This is back to normal, I think, after the anomaly of the last time.
You're being very gracious, Cardiff, and you're making me feel bad.
This next quote is a fill-in-the-blank. Tell me what should be in the blank. Here we go. A sexually transmissible fungus that turns blanks into hyper-pansexual zombie super spreaders and makes their butts fall off is playing havoc with millions.
A hyper, can you say it one more time? Can we hear the thing again?
A sexually transmissible fungus that turns blanks into hyper-pansexual zombies. Yes.
Yes.
Is it cicadas?
How did you know that? There are like sexy zombie cicadas wandering around.
Yeah.
Cicadas.
You didn't see this?
You say cicadas.
Is that, I don't know.
So Cardiff got this one. This is one of the weirder stories I've seen in a long time. We all know, or we've seen headlines that there are a ton of cicadas plaguing the Washington, D.C. metro area. They've been, like, hibernating for 17 years. Now they're coming out to, like, mate and then die. So it's just,
speaking
like, cicadas
Ben
all
Affleck
over.
And J-Lo were together right when they went underground, and they're together again. It's like they never broke up.
You're right. Wait, the Bennifer timeline lines up with the Cicada timeline?
Stacey,
my mind is blown.
There's no way that's a coincidence. And I think the fungus might be in there, like the zombie butt fungus. I think that's like somehow
tied in. It's also in J-Lo and Bennifer. Oh my God, I believe it. So all these cicadas are like coming out, rearing their heads again. But this week, some scientists say these cicadas are like dealing with a weird STD or sexually transmissible fungus. And the fungus makes them all super sex crazed, but it also makes their butts fall off and makes them want to mate with anybody. And it's just weird. It's really weird.
It's like they've been in pandemic for 17 years. Of course they want to mate with anybody. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Been, the like, cicadas are us. Can I say that?
The cicadas are us. We're all, like, out of our apartments
Yeah. And plus, like, they know their, you know, lifespan once they get above ground is pretty short anyway. So if they catch a sexually transmissible fungus, who cares? That ain't nothing.
The cicadas are basically like, we're here. Okay, what's the phrase that they say? Not here for a long time, but here for a good time?
Here for a good time, not a long time. Yeah.
It's like YOLO cicadas.
YOLO cicadas. Woo. Okay, who got that one?
That was Cardiff.
Cardiff
man.
Got that.
Are badly pronounced, but yes, we are tied.
This is also a fill in the blank, our last quote. It's really hitting me in the heart more than I thought it would. Here's the quote. The end is finally near for blank. One of Microsoft's most reviled products that refused to die. What product?
Bill Gates. Well, right. The whole Melinda Bill Gates thing came out, and he's been hanging out with Epstein. And I thought those crazy kids would make it. They seemed like the sane billionaires. I don't know. I was very sad.
As a sane billionaire.
I have an answer that I think might be.
Is it Belinda?
It's a product, right? The question is,
it's
Microsoft
a product,
right? Okay.
They're also a product.
Did Microsoft make Zunes? Are Zunes still around? And those are
Zunes
on the way
are
out?
Gone. This
Zunes
is one that still shows up on your work computer and you don't want to use it.
Oh,
and
my
it's always
God.
Like, would you mind?
Clippy?
Would you want to make
Clippy?
This your default? I miss Ooh. Clippy. No. Here's a hint
it's not,
phrase.
It can't be Outlook, right?
I'm going to give y'all
my
a hint.
My whole life is controlled by Outlook.
Okay.
I'm going to give y'all a hint. Would you like to make this your default browser?
Bing?
Oh, it's
Bing.
What is the default Microsoft Internet browser?
Oh.
Explorer.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. Internet Explorer. Oh, my goodness.
It was so much
Took
drama.
Took us a while, but we got there.
And I lost
there.
Again.
I know.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's
that
okay.
Was a tough
Believe
one.
In yourself. So this week, Microsoft announced that they're going to finally put Internet Explorer out of its misery. The browser is going away. It used to be the most popular web browser, and now it's only used by 5% of Internet users. Sorry, Microsoft Internet Explorer. I will not miss you at all.
And I feel bad for throwing shade at Bill Gates. Unnecessarily.
I don't. He'll be fine.
Me neither.
He'll be fine.
Hey, Sam. I thought I might spring a surprise on you since you're always grilling Stacey and me. I brought a little Who Said That for you.
Yes!
All right?
Oh, my God.
Test
so
you.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Okay, I'm
going
to give you a hint, Sam. The answer might be Jerome Powell, head of the Federal Reserve. I'm just going to throw that in as
Definitely
a
not this
spoiler.
One. Definitely not for this one.
Uh-huh.
So here's the quote, and just tell us who said that.
Okay.
It is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society.
Oh,
I said that to my therapist.
I was going to say Dr. Fauci, but then I thought no.
It is a very famous singer who was profiled this week in the New York Times, which is where I found the quote.
A$AP Rocky?
Nope.
Demi Lovato?
Nope.
Billie Eilish?
Nope.
Lord? Taylor Swift? Beyonce? Mariah Carey?
Think a few decades ago. Here's the hint that I think will give it to you. Once got in a lot of trouble for tearing up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live.
Sinead O'Connor. Sinead O'Connor is talking to the press
again. That's the one. So essentially, Sinead O'Connor was profiled in the New York Times. But what makes that quote fascinating is that she left it as a comment underneath the article that was written about her. It wasn't in the article itself. Yeah.
I love her ID gaff energy. She's got it. Fiona Apple's got it. They're just like, I don't care about none of y'all. I'm speaking my truth.
How did you flip the tables on who said that, Cardiff?
Because it's so nerve-wracking. I was like, Sam needs to hear this.
He is not held to any standards of employment. He is his own boss.
Oh, that's true. He's the CEO.
Cardiff Unleashed.
That's right.
Cardiff,
I love
exactly.
it. Exactly. It's the co-founder
Cardiff
is
the in him. CEO of Who Said That, because he won it this
that's
week.
Right.
Sorry,
oh,
yes.
Breaking things everywhere.
On that note, I want to thank you both for being here. I'm so happy to have been part of a Stacey and Cardiff reunion. It's always a good time talking with y'all, friends. Please come back soon, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anytime. Anytime.
Coming up, we're going to get personal with the recovery. We heard from a lot of listeners about how they are slowly reemerging back into some kind of normal life. We'll hear from you all about that.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy. This message comes from NPR sponsor, REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing, backpacking, and another outdoor thing that rhymes with backpacking. Visit your local REI Co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways you can opt outside. This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options within your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Homes.com. You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, local amenities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox, helping people discover a world of British TV, including new original drama Time, starring Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, and Bella Ramsey. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR.
As you heard earlier in the show, our economy is trying to get back to some kind of normal, but it's a weird and sometimes slow process. But bit by bit, it is happening. And I know I am feeling the same way. Bit by bit, it's happening. There are signs of life all around us right now. More of us are vaccinated. Masks are coming off. People are ready to maybe start life in the after times. So in that bit by bit, it's happening spirit, for this next segment, we wanted to ask you what it's been like to start making this return to some kind of normal. We heard from a lot of you. In Hibbing, Minnesota, the high school drama department just opened their first live in-person musical, Peter and the Star Catcher, and they sent us audio of their backstage warm-up.
Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, pass the Pepsi, please. Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, pass the Pepsi, please. Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, pass the Pepsi, please.
I'm recording this in the Charleston airport while I'm waiting for my friend to arrive from Atlanta. And just drinking a beer. My boyfriend and I live together, so I think this is the first time we're apart for more than a few hours for over 10 months.
So Iris was feeling kind of weird to be on her own. And Leslie got to see her parents for the first time in a year and a half.
And tonight, my dad is cooking his famous spicy noodles, a recipe he's been doing since he was an international grad student. And all the Korean grad students would play poker once a week and make this dish at 2 a.m. So we're very excited about it.
You know, one of the first things I did post 2 weeks after the second shot is eat inside of a restaurant. And I milked every second of it. I had them explain the whole menu to me. I even let them talk me through the wine list. I don't care about wine. They eventually had to kick me out of that restaurant because I'd hit my 90 minutes. But it was the best eviction. Anywho, It's Been a Minute producer Sylvie Douglas spent some time looking for other signs of life out in the real world, and she found a few stories to share. First up, she's going to share a thing that she did for the first time in a very long time.
Welcome to the Armory. Keep following the dots, and we're all going to have a fantastic, spectacular guest extravaganza. And with that, what's your last name?
Douglas, D-O-U-G-L-I-S.
Sylvie.
Yep, that's me.
Amazing, Sylvie. Glad
I have missed dancing so much this year. And last month, I found the closest thing to a dance party I could find mid-pandemic. An event billed as a new, interactive, and experiential movement piece.
Welcome, vibrating pawns. The circle you are in and the spotlight are yours for the next hour while we dance together.
This was a socially distanced dance party, and it was created by choreographer Stephen Hodgett, set designer Christine Jones, and David Byrne of the Talking Heads. About 100 of us were temperature checked, then rapid tested for COVID-19, then we were ushered onto the dance floor at the Park Avenue Armory, a building the length and width of a city block. Wow, okay, so we're walking into this huge room that has a bunch of lights, and everyone is getting in their own little bubble. There's green and red and pink and yellow bubbles on the ground. We were spaced out in circles 12 feet apart, and when you looked out across this enormous hall, you could see rows and rows of little silhouettes of people in the distance, masked up and ready to dance.
Hi, I'm David Byrne. Thank you for coming. Okay, you can dance once this all gets going. There's no right way to do this. There's no wrong way to do this. Anything is okay. Let's start by warming up a little bit with a neck roll. Roll your head in a clockwise direction.
I thought for a moment back to all the Zoom exercise classes I'd taken over the past year, standing in a tiny corner of my apartment and just trying to relax.
It's easy. Everybody can do this. Now we're going to add a move. You know it. The hand sanitizer.
A lot of the dance moves were over the top, kind of theatrical, like being in an avant-garde boy band.
Between your other fingers, cover the back, cover the front. You got too much, too much. Flick it.
I felt a little silly flicking imaginary hand sanitizer on the people 12 feet away from me. But my self-consciousness fell away at one moment.
Now go to the edge of your circle. That's it.
Something about walking backwards around my own designated dancing circle and seeing dozens of other people do the same was so absurd, I laughed out loud. And then I leaned in with full abandon. It wasn't the same as dancing pre-pandemic at a bar, or at a wedding, or at a Zumba class, but the energy was there.
Come on, come on. No, you come on.
I am going on the first date in like forever, Saturday. I'm nervous because I haven't met a new person in a long time, but it's also just so exciting, and the flowers are blooming, and it's like, who cares? Like, you know, it could be a terrible date, and I think I'd still be really happy. I don't think it's going to be a terrible date, but yeah. So we're going to meet up in Annapolis. She's going to show me around. You know, I want to make sure I have a nice outfit, and I want to make sure I've washed my hair, that I smell good, and leave early and stuff, all in preparation for it to go well. I'm just waiting for Saturday. And I feel like I'm almost not nervous because it doesn't feel real. Hey, this is Zach Kahn recording the follow-up about the date. It was really fun. It was a beautiful day out, and it was a Saturday. It was interesting because we're in similar positions. Because we're both living with our parents, which is just funny because even though we're like a good bit into our 20s. It's almost high schoolish of figuring out places. But it was great. I don't know. We walked around for like 7 hours and talked. We're meeting up again next weekend. And yeah, the pandemic is still on, but I can handle this, which is good.
Hi, Sylvia again. I went to visit my grandmother recently. She lives in an apartment building for seniors. And during the pandemic, all the socializing and all the regular events shut down. But last week, things were picking up.
Sherry, weren't you one of the ones that used to play Rummy Cue with us?
Catherine.
Yeah. Vivian was trying to get a foursome, and I couldn't remember your name. I said she used to play with us.
I came down to play Rummy Cue.
In Vivian's group?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad. Here's Vivian.
Hi.
She was the one I was trying to remember.
Sherry, yes.
Sherry.
I don't even know if I know how to play.
I can't remember. I thought maybe you would.
It will all come back to you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We have another person. Where's Shirley? I left a message.
Shirley's always late.
How often did you guys play before the pandemic?
We used to play every night. Every night we were here playing, and it was just part of us, you know. There was a woman from Venezuela, and she loved the game. She died, and she left her set, and she left it to me. When I go, it's going to be here. I mean, it's going to stay here.
Hello there.
All right, who knows how to play Rummy Cue, because we have to... Sherry's going to teach us.
Sherry, so what says are we? 14. We need 14.
14 you have to have. And you put them all the same color.
Yeah, okay.
This way. Yes, stand it up. Is this a 9 or a 6? I think it's a 6. That's a 6.
Well, I've just been Zooming with my sister. Had her 90th birthday today. And she has 7 children. And everybody was on. Everybody was Zooming. And everybody was talking at the same time. Zooming is not my greatest thing.
Oh, no, I Zoom now. I Zoom for the exercise.
I don't.
What's this one? Is this a special one?
That's one that,
it's
very nice.
That's anything.
So this game has really been like over a year in the making.
Since March. It's the fact that we had no social outlet is terrible.
Awful.
You don't realize it. You know, when you're older, you need it.
This thing has just thrown everything. We're just getting back to normalcy now. It is so wonderful. My daughter said to me tonight, Mom, you're sounding like you're happy again. I met another resident, and I said, I don't know why. I just feel like crying. See, the busyness is what will energize me. Even if I'm tired, I push myself out. I get that walk in the afternoon after lunch because there's people around. And we sit in the sun somewhere. We find a good spot. It's been very windy. And we make the most of it. Very good, Shirley.
When'd you put
the... She put the 11.
Perfect.
Good. She's doing well. You're all doing well except me.
No, you're doing fine.
How does it feel?
It feels great.
Flexing an old muscle, huh?
That's right.
Feels good, doesn't it?
I pass.
Like old times. Very good. And the game's over. Beautiful, Sherry. I'm proud of you.
Very nice.
Sherry, I can't tell you how great it is to see you.
What?
And I hope I see you.
And I'm so glad I finally remember your name.
She used to eat
with
us.
And I have that painting that you gave me, that you made. Remember when you came for coffee one time? You brought me a painting.
I enjoyed playing with you, lady.
We'll have many more times together.
Tuesday night is Rummy Cue night.
Okay.
7 o'clock. Remember that.
after I recorded with the group, Shirley passed away. Her son told me, quote, "My mother was sustained during this difficult year through her friendships, and she was fortunate to see some of those friends again, face to face, before she died."
A most sincere thanks to everyone in this segment who shared their stories with the show. It has been a rough year, but it feels like we're turning a corner and there are brighter days ahead. Sylvie Douglas produced that segment. Thank you, Sylvie. This week, It's Been a Minute was produced by Janae West, Andrea Gutierrez, Sylvie Douglas, and Liam McBain. Our fearless editor is Jordana Hochman. We had engineering support this week from Neil Rauch and Brian Jarbo. Special thanks to Megan Kane, Bridget DeChagas, Caroline Dries, Josh Balber, Joseph Fridman, Iris Namark, Zach Kahn, Katie Schnack, Christy Berry, Leslie Beckett, Megan Reynolds, Chuck Goldstone, and Sherry, Vivian, Catherine, and Shirley. Our director of programming is Steve Nelson, and our big boss is NPR's senior VP of programming, Anya Grundmann. All right, listeners, till next time, keep smiling, keep finding those signs of life. I'm Sam Sanders. We will talk soon.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Lisa in collaboration with West Elm. Discover the new natural hybrid mattress, expertly crafted from natural latex and certified safe foams, designed with your health and the planet in mind. Visit leesa.com to learn more.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.